Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends here on Breadbox Media. I'm delighted today to bring a very special guest who has just a tremendous gift for us. Our guest today is Gretchen Crowe, and Gretchen is the editorial director for periodicals at Our Sunday Visitor, where she oversees the publication of the Our Sunday Visitor weekly Catholic newspaper. And today she's here with us to discuss a beautiful new book that she has just released with OSV, Praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II. Welcome to the show, Gretchen.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
Oh, it's a treat. You know, the minute that this book crossed my desk, I thought, oh, I hope that she's available for an interview. I know you're so, so busy and you've had some recent family developments. So I'm delighted to have you. Before we jump into talking about the book, can you just tell us a little bit more about your story and how you got to where you are right now in your faith journey?
Oh, sure. Thank you for asking. Well, I went to college at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and there I was very involved with our school's Newman Center. And when I graduated, I knew that I wanted to work for the church, but I was also graduating with a degree in journalism. And so I said, how can I do this? How can I do this? And I looked around and I discovered diocesan newspapers. And so I wanted to move to the Washington, D.C. area with a couple of my friends after graduation. And after doing a year of service and kind of discernment at Duke University working with them, I decided to apply for a position with the Arlington Catholic Herald, which is the newspaper of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, very green, no experience at all, and was blessed enough to have them hire me there. And I kind of worked my way up there through the different position, started as kind of a low-level editor and writer, and was given a lot of opportunities there, and eventually made the jump to national and moved out to Our Sunday Visitor in Indiana about almost 7 years ago.
Wow. So, has it been that long? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
And you were so young when you started there, too. I mean, well, first of all, Arlington is such an amazing diocesan communications. That was seems like it was a good kind of proving ground for you before going to OSV. And now what are, you know, we know that you you handle the weekly and several of the other publications. What does a typical day look like at work?
Yes, a typical day is just packed to the brim, which is good. It's really good for me. You know, it stays really busy with a large variety of things, which always means that I'm learning, continuously learning, which is, I think, really important. So we've got a lot of meetings. The days follow kind of the cycle of the news, of course, and making sure that we're publishing up to the minute commentary and news that's happening in the church on our OSV News website. But I also oversee the production and the publication of the Priest Magazine and Deacon Digest Magazine. So I get to spend a lot of time in content and development and design meetings with those, and Takeout, which centers on family and family faith, which is great for me. I have two little kids and I'm married, so I always get a lot of nourishment from that. And I would say that, there's also Simply Catholic, which is our web presence for kind of basics of the faith. But I would say that one of the most rewarding things about what I do is, because I work with a lot of content, you probably have similar experiences, Lisa, is mm-hmm. that you're always growing and learning something new about the church, something new about your faith, and continuously being inspired. And I think that's why I love working in the Catholic press so much and in Catholic media, because you're constantly filled with good things to nourish your faith. And so that's what makes it just a delight.
Wonderful. And this is your second book, the first being Why the Rosary, Why Now, which is another great book from our Sunday Visitor. So now, you know, with praying the rosary with St. John Paul II, you're kind of becoming the go-to rosary lady, which is awesome. But I'm just kind of curious about the mix of, you know, what you do in your everyday job, which is sort of this hardcore journalistic news focus and content management, you know, the transition to books and how that's fitting into, you know, the work that you had ongoing and how it complements that work.
Sure. Well, you know, I do a lot of my work with books and things not when I'm in the office. So my day job working with news and content and media really focuses on those periodicals and the development and growth of those. And then, you know, I am, but by nature of working at Our Sunday Visitor, we publish books mm-hmm. and the opportunity has come up a couple of times if I've had ideas to kind of talk with that team and see what the needs might be. And so then I'm able to kind of do those, work on those projects kind of in my quote unquote spare time, which is
which I know you don't have any because your kids are really little.
Yeah. Yes. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old. So,
For people who don't know publishing, what that meant is that Gretchen was, you know, writing this book with a toddler and pregnant.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And in fact, the Why the Rosary, I wrote pregnant with my first son, my first child, and Praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II, I wrote pregnant with my daughter. So
we know that when your third book comes out, we'll be asking you, Gretchen.
Yeah, what's next? Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
but
fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a gift. It's all gift, Lisa, to be able to work on this. And, you know, I get less sleep than I used to, but that's okay because it's just a great opportunity.
I always say I'll sleep when I'm dad. So
exactly.
Sleep is highly overrated.
Exactly. Coffee is delicious.
Well, and if you feel like you're so fulfilled in what you're doing, which, you know, we're very blessed to work in a place, I mean, not without its daily frustrations. And I mean, let's face it, working for the church is ongoing challenge, but I think it's really great that you can balance, you know, your news focus with an emphasis on prayer. And this this beautiful book, Praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II, again, it's brand new out from OSV. And I want to just say, like, I told you before we got on the call that the moment it crossed my desk, I thought, oh, this is a gorgeous book. It's physically gorgeous. And then you turn to the inside of it and it's absolutely beautiful. So just to walk the listeners through it a little bit, and we will have links in our show notes. The book is full color, beautiful French flaps, which is one of my favorite things on a book. That means that it has those little pokey outy flap things on the soft cover that you can mark your spot with. And then, you know, we go into Gretchen's author note, a foreword. I'm going to ask you about that, the biography of the saint, and then the four mysteries of the rosary and instructions on how to pray the rosary. So why this particular kind of focus on the rosary with John Paul II for you, Gretchen?
You know, I think that we're just in a, you know, St. John Paul II offered so much to the church, and he was, when he was canonized, what, almost 5 years ago, I think there's a, I wanted to try to keep his legacy with Mary and the Rosary at the forefront and kind of alive. And I know that sounds kind of funny for a saint who's been canonized, but sometimes, you know, when you're going, when he was alive and then he died and he's always in the news and then he's his cause is constantly making news and then he's canonized and then, you know, it's you know, I wanted to find a way to try to keep his legacy, his love for the Blessed Mother, visible, because I think that he has so much to offer the church and was so enraptured with the rosary and was so devoted to Our Lady. And so I wanted to make sure that that was kind of present and for another generation of Catholics to be able to understand his deep love for Mary and for the Rosary.
And the way that you put the book together is really that it's kind of a working tool. But I want to ask you about the photography that's in here, because we have all through the book these just stunning full color pictures. I mean, that's every author's dream, is to have, you know, a book like this that's got such beautiful art design to it. So were those pictures that were sort of in the archives from our Sunday Visitor?
Yes, exactly. They're in our archives, and they're also, you know, we subscribe to a lot of news services and photo services. But yes, so some of them we did have, and I just love them. There's almost 30 of them. And so as you kind of go through the book, as you pray your way through this book, you can spend time really looking at the images of Pope St. John Paul II and drawing closer to him, which I think is really important. And we wanted to make it full color because we wanted this to be something that people would really cherish spending time with, to meditate upon these images while they're praying, and to also be able to make it a beautiful gift, so that if you know people who want to pray the Rosary more but kind of struggle in doing it regularly, or if you know people who aren't familiar with the Rosary at all, this is a great entryway into doing that. It's just it's beautiful, like you said, and so that helps. I mean, be honest with you, I love praying the Rosary with this book, and I'm not saying it just because I wrote it. I think it draws you more deeply into the spiritual fruits of each mystery. I'm sure we'll talk about that more, but it's a way that has really helped kind of revolutionize also my praying of the Rosary.
So the book opens with, you know, the author note and the biography, and then we have the foreword from Andreas Widmer, who is known for a lot of things, but I always think of about him and his wonderful book, The Pope and the CEO, a former Swiss guard, who now has gone on to be in academics at Catholic University. How did it turn out that he would be the person who would pen the foreword for the book?
So he was giving a talk here. So I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was
my birthplace, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. My mom and dad were born there, and I was born there. I lived there for 6 whole weeks until I moved to California.
Well, there should be a monument. We'll get on that. But he was giving a talk at a university here, and had talked about his experience in the Swiss Guard, and so some of the folks from our Sunday Visitor were at that talk and approached him afterward and said, look, we've got this book that we're working on, praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II. Would you be willing to write the foreword? And thankfully he said yes, because I think he gives such a personal look into what it was like to be present during the pontificate of John Paul II and the impact that the Pope, the Holy Father, made on his life as a Swiss Guard. So it's just really kind of a unique and personal look at the Holy Father as you're getting started in this book.
It is. It's actually just the perfect complement to what you wrote and the rest of the book. And I mean, I was delighted to read that. So let's talk about the formatting of how we pray the mysteries and what you've provided in each of the sections for the mysteries.
Okay, so there are four sections, as you mentioned. So we've got the joyful, the sorrowful, the glorious, and the luminous mysteries. And each set of mysteries, you know, there are 5 mysteries within each set, is there with an image of the Pope, as we mentioned, of John Paul II. And the name of the mystery is there. And then I pulled a quote from Scripture that I thought would be helpful for people to meditate upon as they're praying each mystery. So that's at the very front, kind of on the title page of each mystery, if you will. And then if you go deeper into it, each mystery is associated with a spiritual fruit, thanks to the great work of the Mariologist, Saint Louis Marie de Montfort. And he had outlined centuries ago these kind of fruits, spiritual fruits that are associated with each mystery. And I personally love praying the Rosary and meditating upon these fruits, because it helps one think about and meditate upon and pray for a deeper development in that particular virtue. And so I have that highlighted. And then I wrote a passage about how throughout his life and pontificate, Pope St. John Paul II kind of embodied that spiritual fruit. So what he did that that showed that he was living these spiritual fruits and these virtues. And then I have an opportunity. I write the verse, the scripture verse that's associated with each mystery. And then I include a reflection that St. John Paul II wrote that pertains to each mystery. And so for those, I pulled from his papal documents, I pulled from homilies or general audiences, anywhere books that he'd written, anywhere that he touched on kind of those individual mysteries and compiled them. So my hope is that I've done the hard work, that I've gone through and found kind of the best that he wrote about each mystery. And if you ever want to know what did John Paul say about you know, the Annunciation, for example, you can come to this and you can see, you know, what I think is the best thing that he said about each mystery.
It really is a wonderful kind of compendium of his writings. And what I found when I was praying with that is that it made me oftentimes want to dive more deeply into, you know, what it was that he said in those documents. So, you know, I found myself when I finished my rosary going, and I'm very drawn to the Luminous Mysteries, for example. So in the one of the mysteries that you discuss there, the fourth luminous mystery, the Transfiguration, you call the fruit for an ongoing conversion to Christ. And then we have this beautiful writings that he gave from Vita Consecrata. I'm probably killing the Latin there, but I found myself thinking, I want to go back and read that entire document. It's so beautiful. And I'm sure that now, people don't realize the difficulty that goes into doing that research. Was it hard to kind of match up the writings, or did you find that the Holy Spirit just cleared the path for you?
Oh, well, I mean, the Holy Spirit was definitely with me, but I wouldn't say the path was clear.
Yeah.
And a lot of that really is due to how much John Paul wrote.
He wrote a ton.
So, I mean, there was so much to look through and kind of read through. The biggest thing was trying to discern which one was the best one to include. Now I will say some of them, you know, during Holy Week, the Pope traditionally doesn't preach a lot during the Triduum. And so I thought initially it was going to be easier to find his writings on the Sorrowful Mysteries and his thoughts on the Sorrowful Mysteries. But that was a challenge, honestly. But I think for the most part, he wrote so much and he had such a love for the Rosary and for Mary that the biggest issue was trying to whittle those down and identify what was going to speak to people the most and what really should be included in this book.
Do you have, maybe this is not a good question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have a favorite set of mysteries of the Rosary?
Yes, I do. Well, you know, I was answering this question for someone else, and I said my answer, which is the truth, which is the Joyful Mysteries, mm-hmm. because I just, you know, I absolutely love the Annunciation and the Visitation and the Nativity and everything. It's just they're so rich in imagery and in depth. But you know, someone said to me when I was telling them that, said, "Well, I found that." People's favorite set of mysteries kind of depends upon their time in life.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And I thought, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Here I am. I'm 38 years old. I've got little kids. I'm kind of in this, you know, strengthening of my vocation as a wife and a mother and someone who works in the Catholic press and media. I definitely could see that rings true.
I wonder what it says about me that I'm looking for light. <That's> beautiful. Beautiful. Well, so the way that, I guess I'll ask you, how would you suggest that people begin to incorporate this booklet into their daily prayer of the Rosary or whenever they pray the Rosary?
Yeah. Well, I think if you have the book next to you, I think that one of the first things that you can do is start your normal rosary or start praying the rosary, and the instructions and the prayers are in the back of the book. So we tried to make everything easy, even if you weren't familiar with the rosary or just wanted to get into it. you don't have to be somebody who prays a daily rosary. You can kind of learn and grow with this book. What I do is I read the verse of scripture out loud, and then I read the spiritual fruit associated with each mystery at the start of the decade. I read the reflection, or I read the passage about John Paul II, and then I'll read the gospel, and then I'll read the reflection. So I just kind of go through that and then pray the decade of Hail Marys. However, if that's a lot, which it can be, if you want to focus on one or the other particular aspect, you can do that. And I think that's also one of the great gifts of this book. If you want to say, okay, this time I'm praying the rosary, I just want to focus on growing in virtue and those spiritual fruits, they're right there. And this is how John Paul II embodied them. And that's inspirational. And I'm just going to think about that. Or if you want to reflect on his writings on each particular mystery and draw closer to Jesus through Mary and through St. John Paul II, through those reflections, that's also a great opportunity to read the scripture and to reflect with him on that scripture reading.
I found one day that I was using it, I actually sprinkled my prayer of the rosary throughout the day. So I came back to, you know, like in the morning I did the first mystery and then came back for sort of my coffee break mid morning and sprinkled it throughout the day. And it was almost like being on a retreat to spend the day with Pope St. John Paul II and our Blessed Mother. Really wonderful. What do you say? I mean, after having written this book, how has this impacted on the way that you pray the rosary personally?
Yeah, I think this has really changed how I've prayed the rosary. I really appreciate and I find myself very inspired by Pope St. John Paul II. And I find myself drawn more deeply into his love for Mary, which is so prevalent. And I think that what you said earlier about how these excerpts can be springboards into further reading is really true. I try to put, every excerpt is cited so that you can see exactly where it came from, the document or the general audience, the date, etc. So if you need to go back and find it, you can. And if you want to draw more closely into what he had to say on this topic at that time, you can do that. And so I just think it really helps one get to know Mary, of course, better, helps get to know Jesus better through Mary and then also through John Paul II. It's been a real gift to me, and I hope it is to others.
Again, the book is Praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II from Our Sunday Visitor. Gretchen, I feel like I'm with you every day because I see your name all over the place and I follow you on social media. But one of my favorite new things that you're doing is a project with Our Sunday Visitor where I jumped right on it because we hear so much bad news these days. And you have started up a new feature where you share a positive news story every day. Can you tell us a little bit more about that project?
Sure. So this is a daily newsletter it's a weekday newsletter that comes straight from me, and it's called What's the Good News? And I'm going to be honest with you, Lisa, and I'm sure you would agree. This is a tough time for the church. I feel like we're inundated so much with bad news, and especially working in the job that I work in.
Yes.
Where you have to follow the news and frankly, some of it, you're just sick of reading, you know, and it can be a challenge. And so I thought, what would help me, as a, you know, somebody who is kind of immersed in this, help reignite me, re-inspire me with a love for the church. And I thought, well, of course, learning about and reading. What do I love? I love to read those good news stories about people who are inspirational, who are working in the church, who are serving others, who are spreading the light of Christ to their neighbors. I love to read those stories. I knew that everybody, on my team here at work loves to read those stories. And I thought, well, if we like it, then there's got to be other people who are thirsting for it. And so So I've started doing that. I started a daily newsletter where people can sign up for it and receive one email from me every weekday that has one story in it. It's not overwhelming. It's just one story. And I kind of synthesize it at the beginning. I give an excerpt and I give a link out to that, to the origins of that story. A lot of them are from diocesan newspapers and, who report on the news and the church that a lot of people, that doesn't get a lot of attention nationally. And I also include within the email an excerpt from the scripture of the day, the gospel reading of the day, because good news, it goes together. It goes together perfectly. And if we're going to be inspired through the events in our life, we, of course, always want to be fed by God's word and inspired by scripture.
It's been, I look forward to receiving it every day. And I just want you to know, because I sometimes think when you do something by email, particularly, you're thinking, is anyone out there? And I mean, you know, from your statistics that people are reading it, but I want you to know that it has really impacted me. And one thing that I think quite frequently, I spend way too much time on Catholic social media, you know, because it's what we do. But I'll find myself kind of prone to these periods of despair where I begin to think, you know, is there any hope? You know, there's so much division and between well-meaning people of faith, you know, a lot of vitriol and just negativity. And then it's funny because oftentimes I will talk with friends who aren't that into social media and who just work in parishes or work in Catholic hospitals or in Catholic educational institutions. And I'll say to them, you know, what do you think about XYZ, like major controversy that's happening all over Catholic Twitter? And they'll say, what? You know, like, I don't even know about that. And I think, you know, so much of the good of the church is these people like my friends who are out there doing the day to day ministering to people. And those stories are so important. And yet somehow, just like our national news, those good news stories get lost in the swirl of all the kind of negative stuff that's eye candy and people can't seem to stop gorging on. So I just want to say thank you for that feature. How would people sign up for that if they want to get a hold of it?
Sure. They can go to I think it's reply.osv.com/goodnews.
Okay.
They can also come to, I can send you the link so you can post
it. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and they can also go to my Facebook page if they want to follow Gretchen Arcro. It's all over that, so they
Great.
Can sign up.
And we are going to have all those links in our show notes for the podcast episode. Gretchen, I want to say thank you again. But the book, Praying the Rosary with St. John Paul II, is such a gift. I'm gonna pray for you every day when I pray with the book, and for your family as well. Are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I gave a talk a few weeks ago, and I kind of ended with this sentiment, and I think it would be a good one to end with here. You know, I so appreciate you having me on the show to talk about this book, and I think that, you know, I would love to get this book into the hands of more people, but I want to make it clear, this is not about, to me, about selling books. This is about an opportunity, trying to provide an opportunity for people to draw closer to Jesus through Mary and through St. John Paul II, to inspire them, to help their prayer lives develop and grow more deeply. We're all so busy. We're all trying to do too much. And I'm just hoping that this book can be a way that will help people kind of slow down and be able to grow in deeper devotion to Our Lady and to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for the work you've done. It's absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait to see what comes next. I'm going to give you a little while to rest, but I can't wait for your next book.
Thank you, Lisa. I so appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Gretchen. Well, friends, that's it for this week's show. I do want to point you to Breadbox Media and to our friends there who make this podcast possible. And just to let you know that we will again have links to in the show notes to all the ways that you can get in touch with Gretchen, get the book, reach out for everything that she's got going on through her social media. I would ask you, if you enjoy the podcast, to please share it with a friend today, or go on over and leave a review. review or a star rating for us. That helps me to continue to improve. If there's a guest you'd like to hear from on the podcast, please just drop me an email to lisahendy@gmail.com. And, you know, until next week, just know that you are in my prayers. I'm so grateful for everyone who's reached out and is praying for our family. We're truly, truly grateful. When you're listening to this, I will be heading off for a visit with my parents. So keep the prayers coming. And just know that I'm with you. And until next week, God bless. Have an amazing week, friends.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.